Good morning to all of our dedicated listeners and learners. We feel truly privileged to be able to provide a number of different shiurim, lectures, learning experiences to benefit men, women, children of all ages, all backgrounds, all levels of affiliation. We have the unique opportunity to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, to bring out the relevant and contemporary messages which shape and alter our everyday lives. But in order to continue to do this, we need your help. We need your support. We are running a very special raffle. Only 365 tickets to be sold with a grand prize of $15,000 or a brand new car. If you are a member of the shul, a dedicated learner or a listener of the Institute for Jewish Continuity, the IJC, if you are someone who frequents our website or our podcast, here is your opportunity to partner with us to continue in the proliferation of our shiurim, our lectures, and our beautiful messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please visit www.suburbanorthodox.org, click on the banner that says raffle, and purchase your tickets today. Thank you so much for partnering with us. Thank you so much for being a part of our beautiful learning revolution. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to grow together, and Amir Tashem may we be zoche to do so for many years to come. All right. Good evening, everyone. Perfect. All right. Good evening, everyone. So welcome to the first installment of our summer series. Over the course of the summer, Amir Tashem, we're going to try to touch on a number of interesting and different types of contemporary topics. And for our first installment for the summer, we're going to speak about some of the topics concerning Kibbud Avim, honoring parents. Such the title of our shir, Honor Your Father and Mother, Contemporary Issues, Ancient Obligation. And what we're going to try, back of their sheets right when you walk in, and we're going to try to focus on a little bit over here, is just give a little bit of a background to the mitzvah, a little bit of a historical background to the mitzvah, a biblical perspective on the mitzvah, and then try to delve into some contemporary issues. By no means are we going to tackle the entirety, all of the issues concerning Kibbud Av V'Em, but at least we'll be able to gain a little bit of a greater sensitivity to some of the fascinating insights. And again, as my goal often is in the Shiurim, which I find the most fulfilling part of Judaism, which is to show how even the most contemporary daily issues find their expression and really find their resolution in the most ancient of sources. So with that, let's begin with number one. The Torah itself gives us two obligations when it comes to our parents. Number one is Kabid es avicha ve'es imecha, honor your father and mother. And then number two, the Torah says Ish imo ve'aviv tiro, a person should go ahead. And literally the word that's used, the translation that's used over here is fear. Tiro can mean fear. Tiro can also mean revere. So the Torah gives us two mitzvos when it comes to our parents. Kibud, honoring our parents, and mora, which is reverence. I don't think, you know, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev explains that you can't translate the word as yira as fear. Because, for example, we have the concept of yiras Hashem. So the Rebbe says that when you fear something, by definition, you keep a distance from it. So if I fear fire, I keep my distance from fire. So the Torah tells us that we're obligated to have yiras Hashem. If yiras Hashem means fear of God, the problem with that is that fear is an emotion which creates a distance between ourselves and God. If we're supposed to fear our parents, so again, the problem is that creates a distance between myself and my parents. The goal from a Judaic perspective is to have healthy relationship, healthy togetherness between children and parents. Therefore, the better way to state it is reverence. When you revere something, you recognize that ultimately it's on a level that is higher than you, but you still yearn to come close to it. I revere God, and as such, I yearn to come close to Him, and I revere my parents, which means ultimately, again, I put them on a pedestal, a step above me, and therefore, again, I still have a desire for connection, but recognize that it's not necessarily a lateral connection, that my parents are on one level, and I'm on a separate level. How do these two mitzvos find their own expression? If you take a look at number three, so the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin writes as follows, Ezehu mora ve'ezeh kibud. What's mora? What's kibud? What are the differences in these two mitzvos? Mora, and again, here I'm just giving you definitions. Mora, lo omid bimkomo, a person should not stand in his parents' place. Velo yoshev bimkomo, a person should not sit in his parents' list. Now, one of the very interesting things that we're going to see over the course of this shiur is how much of honoring and revering parents has changed over the years as a result of societal influences, as a result of a lot of different pieces. So you see over here, the Gemara says, I shouldn't stand in my parents' place. I shouldn't sit in my parents' place. Here's an interesting one. V'lo soser es devarav. I should not contradict my parents. Not everybody holds with this. So I just want to point out, right? I shouldn't go ahead and contradict my parents. V'lo machrio, nor should I go ahead and machrio means literally lend my support to my parents' statements. There are sheets right on the table over here. So nor should I go ahead and support their statements, which means that what? Which means that if my parent says something, my parent's statement doesn't need my seal of approval. So I don't contradict them, and I also don't go ahead and validate their statements. That's mora. What's kibud? Kibud, honoring parents, is ma'achilu mashka. I have to go ahead and make sure my parent is fed, make sure my parent has what to drink, malbish u'mechasa, make sure my parent has clothing, machnis u'motzi, make sure my parent gets out of the house. So these are also fascinating, because a lot of the aspects of kibud seems to really relate to older parents. This idea is, I'm obligated to make sure that my parent has food, my parent has drink, my parent has clothing, my parent doesn't sit at home all day, but is able to get out of the house. So we see that mora, revering parents, is much more focused on the things I cannot do. I should not disrespect them by sitting in their place, standing in their place, contradicting their words. Kibud are the positive things that I do in order to ensure that my parent has a proper quality of life. They have food, they have drink, they have clothing, they have stimulation. This is an incredible idea. As lifespans increase, the idea of keeping people who are older active and integrated and busy is not just something nice, but it seems to be part of the halachic mandate that we have as children. There are many interesting halachic questions that come up. The most important question that comes up, and not the most important, but one of the most intriguing questions that comes up, is who is obligated to pay for parental care. So the mitzvah of kibud tells me that I'm supposed to make sure my parent has food, my parent has clothing, my parent has what to drink. Who picks up the bill for that? Am I, as a child, obligated to spend my own money for that? Or is it really my responsibility to facilitate the services, but it is the parent who is obligated to pay? So the Gemara seems to indicate that really the bill, the cost, is borne by the parent. The child is not obligated to spend his own money on the care of the parent. Now again, if the parent doesn't have money, then of course there may be an obligation upon the child. But assuming the parent has resources, my obligation as the child is to facilitate care, but I don't have to take that from my own wallet. Another interesting halachic piece, kind of before we get to the contemporary issues. Why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of kibud av va'im? Right, my parents are visiting me for Shabbos. I'm going to bring my mother a glass of tea, a wonderful opportunity for kibud av va'im. Why don't I make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kidusham tzav tzivanu al mitzvas kibud av va'im. Or I'm going to buy my father an article of clothing, whatever, you fill in the blank. Why not make a bracha on these mitzvos before performing them? So there are a number of different approaches. And again, I want to be clear, I'm not doing these topics total justice. I'm actually probably doing them a disservice, because there's a lot more to be said on each of these issues. I'm just kind of giving you a couple of bullet points. So if you look at number four, so the Rashba says something amazing. You see a little biography of the Rashba on the bottom. Actually, let's go out of order. Look at number six first. The Shailus Achuvus Binyamin Ze'ev, Rav Binyamin ben Matisyahu, who lived in Greece during the first half of the 16th century, he writes in number six as follows. Amasha Sha'alta, Lama in onu mevarach la mitzvas av mitzvah ki kibud av va'im. Excuse me. Why do we not make a bracha on honoring parents? He says, "Hatamu de'in mevarachin ela al mitzvos sha'anu mikudashim min ha'umos." This is amazing. He says, we only make brachos on mitzvos that are uniquely Jewish. Mitzvos are uniquely Jewish. In other words, mitzvos that we perform because God told us to perform them. And had God not told us, we would not have performed them. So, yes. Tzedakah is a little bit different, but there is a similar logic to this, correct. Correct. One way, give charity. Correct, correct. So the idea that Binyamin Zev says over here is, any mitzvahs that are intuitive, that you see the nations of the world do as well, so we do not say a bracha. Honoring parents is not something that is a uniquely Jewish value. There is a concept, or at least there was a concept, that one should honor all their older, their elders, specifically their parents. Because it's not uniquely Jewish, we don't make a bracha on it. If you look at number four, the Rashba says something quite amazing, and this creates a very important halachic paradigm for us. So the Rashba says, Sha'alta, he asks this question by a number of different mitzvos as to why we don't make a bracha. If you look at the end of the first line, right after the couple of periods there, V'chein, ein mevarchen al mitzvah, she'ina teluya kula biyad ha'oseh. You never make a bracha, and this is an incredible idea, you never make a bracha over an act over which you do not have complete control and autonomy. In other words, an action that is dependent on another person, and that person may or may not choose to participate in the act, there is no bracha for that act. So for example, we don't make a bracha on tzedakah. I'm about to give tzedakah to someone, I don't make a bracha. Why not? Why not? The person could refuse it. The person could refuse the tzedakah, and if the person refuses the tzedakah, then ultimately, again, I can't fulfill the mitzvah. Ultimately, the Rashba says something amazing. He explains that therefore there is no mitzvah on kibud avayim. Why not? Because if you look at number five, the Shulchan Aruch says something very important. Ha'av shamacho al kivodo, kivodo macho. The Shulchan Aruch phrases it in terms of a father, but it applies to a father and a mother. A parent who forgives their honor, they have the right to do that. It's interesting in halacha that there are certain people who we are obligated to honor. Certain people are permitted to forgive or to forego the honor that is due to them, and others cannot. The melech, for example, the king, does not have the right to go ahead and forego his honor. A Talmud Chacham has the ability to forego certain aspects of his honor, but not all of his honor. A parent has the ability to be mochel, has the ability to forgive part of their honor. So for example, the way does this come up all the time? The Aruch HaShulchan says, many of you may be thinking to yourselves, I sat in my father or mother's place at the table all of the time. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that today, presently, we understand that most parents actually forgive much of the honor that is due to them. Very often children don't stand up when their parents enter into the room, even though halachically we should. So why don't we? Because sometimes there's an implied or automatic assumed mechila, forgiveness of that honor that is due to the parent. So therefore the Rashba says something amazing. We don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of kibud av ve'im. Why? Because as I'm right about to honor my parent, and I make the bracha, what could happen in the next moment? My parent says,
what are you doing?
No, thank you. No, thank you. Right, it's okay. I'll get my own cup of tea. I'll take care of myself. Yes.
So
the answer is going to be, it depends. If a parent is clinically depressed and they don't want to go out of the house, if a parent is unwilling to resolve themselves to the fact that they're elderly and incapacitated and is embarrassed to go out of the house, sometimes even parents make decisions that are not in their best interest. We're going to talk a little bit about that, how to deal with that as a child, because that's exceptionally difficult. But yes, assuming that it's an informed decision, I think my parents should do X. My parent wants to do Y. What I want for them is halachically what the halacha says. If they don't want it, then I have to yield. I have to yield. Now, the reason why this is important, and here I'm going to switch gears for a moment, because we all came here tonight to learn about our obligations towards our parents. I think now, and Nechama, listen very carefully to this. Right? I think now, that we'll switch gears for just a moment and to focus on our obligation as parents. What the halacha is telling me is as follows. If the halacha gives me as a parent the right to yield the honor due to me, what does that teach me? That there are times when it is in my best interest as a parent to yield that honor due to me. Sometimes when parents are sticklers for their children to honor them in a certain way, not only does it not work, does it not achieve the desired result, but often it backfires. Meaning the fact that the halacha says that I as a parent have the ability to forgive the honor due to me. That I as a parent have the ability to say to my child, it's okay. Tatala, mamala, shefala, whatever you call your kids, sit in my seat. Sit in my seat. It tells you that the halacha understands that sometimes proper parenting is this incredible balance, as we know. Sometimes, again, it's about rules. You know, if you let your kids do whatever they want, that is terrible, terrible chinuch. Because children who do whatever they want turn into adults who do whatever they want and get themselves into all kinds of trouble. Rules are exceptionally important. Teaching our children to honor us as parents is exceptionally important. But yet again, there are times, depending on the child, depending on the temperament, depending on the circumstance, where it's in my best interest to let it go, to not enforce the honor that is due to me, because at the end of the day, that will not get me the relationship with my child that is truly desired. So again, that was just flipping the coin for just a moment from the parent to the child, now back to the child to the parent.
Would the Rav say that as a parent of small children, there is the idea of creating an environment where, yes, this is Abba C?
Absolutely.
Just learning how to...
Absolutely, 100%. And I'll tell you, the best thing is, not only is it good, it's absolutely appropriate. And the great part is, if you start when children are young, it's not done in an authoritarian way. It's not, meaning, there's an idea, Abba, Tati, Daddy, whoever it is, sits over here, Mommy sits over here, and you're such a good child, you respect your parents, you sit over here, we save these chairs for the adults, the same way. And again, I'm a little bit old school this way, same way I think, children shouldn't call adults by their first names either, right? Everybody should be Mr., Mrs., Dr., Rabbi, lawyer, whatever you are. And again, not because it's, but because I teach my children derech eretz. We all know as parents, if you miss the learning curve when children are young, it takes a lot more time to catch up afterwards. When they're young and children are receptive to this, and they don't read into, you know, as children get to, I think the age gets younger and younger and younger. But let's say when children get to third, fourth, fifth grade, where they begin to feel a real sense of autonomy and clashes with parents start, it's already harder. But when they're young and they're innocent and they believe with all their heart that all their parents want to do is do good for them, that's a time to absolutely instill derech eretz for parents and derech eretz for adults. Again, in a non-authoritarian way. So let's go a little bit further. Look at number 7. Yeah.
But as it is, like, you're saying that you don't say a bracha for doing something for your parents, but yet you say brachas on your children to bless them.
But that's a blessing. That's not really a bracha in the conventional sense, like on a mitzvah. That's a blessing. Different than a bracha you make on a mitzvah.
And what is the difference?
One is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. It's a blessing you recite on a mitzvah. One is just an anticipatory wish that I have for my children to be like Ephraim Menashe, Osa, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Take a look at number 7. So now, let's spend a few moments thinking about the meaning of the mitzvah. So now, again, you've seen a little bit of the halachic framework of the mitzvah, Mora Kibbut. We've now seen why I don't make a bracha. So what about why we do this? So again, remember, the simple answer why we do this is, it's intuitive. It's logical. But again, I want to share with you two beautiful approaches here. So number 1, the Kli Yakar says, and number 7, if you take a look at the underlying lines, he writes, V'imtechabit avvaim bavur shemehem notzer achomer v'haguf hakala v'habala kavachomer v'nosha kavachomer shetechabit es avicha shebashayim sher nasan b'cha neshama hachelik hamu'ula kaim lanetzach. So this is amazing. The Gemara says that there are three partners in the creation of man. There's a mother, there's a father, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mother and father, what do they contribute to the partnership? They contribute the physicality of the child. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give? HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes the soul, the neshama of the child. So the Kli Yakar says something amazing. The Kli Yakar says that at the end of the day, honoring my parents is a springboard to honoring God. How so? Because if I honor my parents, who gave me my physicality, who gave me my body, who gave me physical life, then all the more so I have to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave me a soul. Because that which my parents gave me is limited and temporal. This body will only last me 120 years. that which God has given me will last me for all eternity. If I have to honor my parents because of the physicality they've given me, then I have to honor God because of the eternality He has given me. So according to the Kli Yakar, amazingly enough, honoring parents is not an ends, but rather it's a means ultimately to greater God appreciation. The Sefer HaChinuch number 8 says something so profoundly beautiful. Paragraph 8, Beis. Mishrashe mitzvah zu, what's at the root of this mitzvah? Sheroi lo li adam, sheyakir v'yigmol chesed, lemisha asa imo tova. This is amazing. The Sefer HaChinuch says, do you know why you have to honor your parents? Do you not have to honor your parents? For one simple reason. Don't be an ingrate. What does that mean, don't be an ingrate? There's a concept in Judaism of hakaras hatov. Hakaras hatov means that you have gratitude for people who have done something good for you. My parents brought me into this world. So because they brought me into this world, therefore what? I must express my gratitude to them for giving me life. Because the worst possible character trait that a person could go ahead and possess in this world is to be a person who lacks gratitude to those who give you something. My parents give me life, physical life, whatever it is, they give me life. And as such, I must be able to express my gratitude towards that, towards them. Now, I will point out, so according to the Sefer HaChinuch, what's amazing over here is that honoring parents also is not an end. Honoring parents is a necessary mitzvah to build a complete and comprehensive identity. If I don't honor my parents, then that is symptomatic that I am the kind of person who does not know how to have proper gratitude when people do something for me. So the Kli Yakar explaining that I honor my parents ultimately because if I honor my parents who gave me my physicality, I'll certainly come to honor God who gave me my soul, which is my eternality. And the Chinuch saying, honoring my parents teaches me the concept of gratitude. What's amazing about these two approaches? What's amazing is they're absolutely divorced and totally not intertwined with the quality of my parents' parenting. So if you notice again, and this is an incredibly dramatic Judaic insight, my obligation to honor my parents has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not my parents were good parents. Nothing to do with it, right? They were good parents, mediocre parents, okay parents, I wish I had different parents, I wish I had your parents, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever quality of parenting I received, I have an obligation to honor my parents. Now, we're going to qualify this in a couple of different ways and understand what this means in difficult situations, but I think it also gives us an incredible insight into parenting. You know, Freud was not the first individual to recognize that a lot of our life conflict is rooted in our relationship with our parents. Already, again, Chazal have multiple different statements that allude to this idea. But I think what the Torah tries to teach us is as follows. Parents try their best. No one ever sets out saying, you know what? I'm going to be a really bad parent. That's my goal. My goal is to ruin my kids. Or you know what? I want to make sure that I do whatever I can to make my kids' life difficult. Or you know what? The most I espouse to is mediocrity. Or you know what? Me, my thing? My thing is neglect. That's what I'm going to try to be really good at neglecting my kids. At neglecting. No one ever says that. What ends up happening is, as we know, is people parent to the best of their abilities. We're influenced by the parenting we received when we grew up. We're influenced by the things that are happening all around us at all the time. And more often than not, even when parents make big mistakes, more often than not, it's not malicious. Sometimes it's just a lack of understanding. Sometimes it's just a lack of awareness. Sometimes it's that the parent doesn't have the tools to be able to be the parent their children needs them to be. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to honor your parents no matter what. And no matter what the quality of that parenting was, from a Torah Hashkafa, we believe that parents tried their best. Okay? Are we always successful? So we know as parents that we are rarely always successful. The most we could hope for is that we're trying. Is that we put our heads on the pillow knowing that, you know what, at least today I tried to be a good parent. Maybe I was 63% successful. I'm going to try better for tomorrow. And therefore, the obligation to honor our parents, that's why you see the Mefarshim saying, the obligation to honor parents, again, is a springboard to honoring God. It creates a sense of gratitude. It is something independent of the quality of my parents' actual parenting processes. So this is an incredible... So I say this because I think I spoke about this on the Shabbos before Mother's Day. I was going to speak about it on Father's Day also, but I felt it was a little self-serving. So, you know, a lot of us have baggage from our parents. We just have baggage from them. And sometimes it's understandable baggage, because sometimes parents do things and say things and behave in ways that are just totally inappropriate and totally undermine their children's maturation. And as children, even when we grow up and we pretend like everything is fine, a lot of us carry around a lot of resentment towards the things that our parents have done to us. The only way to get past that resentment is when you say, you know what? I believe with all of my heart that it wasn't malicious. It was foolish. It was uninformed. It was wrong, but it wasn't malicious. Now, again, are there malicious situations? Unfortunately, yes. But I believe, if you believe that people are good, then you have to believe that certainly our parents are good also. And that even if stuff happens, we do it to our kids, our parents did it to us. But I believe ultimately, again, that they tried. And if I believe that they tried, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, I have to try to honor them. They tried to raise me, I have to try to honor them. If you take, yes. No. We're gonna talk about that. What I'm talking about now doesn't apply to abusive parents, actively abusive parents. It doesn't apply to parents who I'll use your term, morally depraved. We'll discuss how to deal with that. I'm talking on the spectrum of what we'll call normal dysfunctional parenting, right? So that's, you know, we all live somewhere on that spectrum. So normal dysfunctional parenting, which means parents look back, and we all look back, and sometimes I look back and I say, I can't believe my parents did that. And then I say to myself, I can't believe I just did that. So on that spectrum, we will talk about extreme circumstances in just a little bit. So let's get into a little bit where the issues of conflict between parents and children often come up. So again, what I always find most beautiful about Yiddishkeit is the ability to draw back on early sources to address contemporary issues. Take a look. Take a look at number 9. So this is from the Shailos HaTshuvos, the responsa of the Beis Yehuda. The Beis Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda ben Yitzchak Ayash, who was one of the most famous rabbis in the Algiers. He died in 1760. So he discusses the following question. You're going to see why it's relevant to our discussion. He says, Sheila, here's the following question. What's the question? He says, Ben Tamid Chacham, Shenad Varucha also Leilech Li'ir HaKodesh Tzfat. There was a young Talmud Chacham who decided he wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, move to Tzfat. And what happens? V'yesh lo av va'im, shemetztarim harbe ar predasom, u'me'ak vin oso shlo liparid mehem. And what happens? The young man wants to move to Tzfat. Only one issue, which is, his parents don't want him to go. His parents don't want him to make Aliyah. They don't want him to leave. So again, they asked this question to the Beis Yehuda. So young Talmid Chacham asks, I want to go on Aliyah. My parents don't want me to. So what do I do in this type of circumstance? So the Beis Yehuda responds, this is in number 9, paragraph Beis. He says, the young man is permitted to make Aliyah. Why? Because there are two issues. Number one, dikatarti lilmo Torah velelech leret Yisrael tzvat pshita deintzarch lishmo la'aviv ulimo bazeh. So the Beis Yehuda paskins that essentially the young man has the opportunity to perform two mitzvos. Number one, is to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and number two is to live in Eretz Yisrael. So because this is all presupposing that living, making Aliyah is a mitzvah, is a biblical mitzvah, that's a separate discussion which we're not going to get into now. But because this young man is ultimately doing what he's doing to enable him to perform two mitzvos, to learn Torah with greater intensity in Tzfat, and to make Aliyah, the Beis Yehuda paskin that he is permitted to go against his parents' wishes, even though his decision will cause his parents an incredible amount of pain. Turn to number 10, something a bit more contemporary. So Yichav Adas, Rav Avadji Yosef, he was asked the opposite question. Paragraph Aleph. Hadar Be'eretz Yisrael, v'horav garim b'chutzlaretz. This is a very common situation that comes up. a couple makes aliyah, they move when they're young, parents are outside of the land of Israel in diaspora, parents get older, and what do the parents want? What do the parents ask for? The parents ask their children, please come back from Eretz Yisrael and take care of us. Please come back from Eretz Yisrael. We're here, we're elderly, we're alone. Please come back and take care of us. Ha'im alav lishmoa bekol horov, mishum mitzvas kibod avaim. Is the child obligated to listen to his parents? So I have a conflict. On one hand, again, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, which is a mitzvah. My parents want me to come back and take care of them. Am I obligated to listen to my parents? And Rav Adi Yosef writes, and he essentially answers, and he says, no, one is not obligated to listen to their parents in these circumstances. Why? Because there is an overriding mitzvah. In case number one, there's an overriding mitzvah to make aliyah to live in Eretz Yisrael. In case number two, there's an overriding prohibition. There is a prohibition, according to some, that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, to leave Eretz Yisrael. So this really is centered on the concept that as much as there is a mitzvah to go ahead and honor my parents, if my parents' wishes conflict with the divine wishes, so if my parents' requests put me at odds with my biblical or Torah or halachic obligations, so which essentially means my honoring my parents and my honoring God conflict, so God wins that debate. So I have an obligation to honor God over honoring my parents. Therefore, in both of these cases, case number one, the young man was able to make aliyah. In case number two, the young man or the couple, the family, was able to remain in Eretz Yisrael. Now, these cases are a little bit easier, so to speak, because in these cases over here, what we're balancing is an obligation to honor my parents versus an obligation to adhere to the word of God. So there the halacha is telling me, same way, if my parent calls me up and says, I need you to come today. It's Shabbos. My parents live three states away. I need to see you today. I'm commanding you as your parent. You have an obligation to honor me. Get in your car and come and see me. So what's the halacha? The halacha is I can't go. I'm not talking about, God forbid, a life-threatening situation. I can't go. My parent just has a burning desire to see me today. I can't go. I have a mitzvah to honor my parents. I have a bigger mitzvah to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I think what comes out from this halacha, what's the common denominator in both of these cases? The common denominator is, I have a certain set of aspirations, and my parents have a different set of aspirations for me. We all know, again, kind of reversing the role a little bit, it's a very hard shut-off valve when I raise a child, and I feel like my entire purpose is to give that child direction. I'm doing that for years and years and years. And then one day comes when when either they get married or even before marriage. And then I realize, you know what? I actually have to let them direct themselves. Either going to make mistakes, part of life. We all learn from our mistakes. That moment where you have to, where you almost like, I go from the mother bird constantly hovering over the nest to pushing the chicks out and hoping that they could fly. And they might not. Sometimes they leave the nest and they hit the ground with a thud. But the good news is they dust themselves off, they flutter their wings, and they pick up and they leave. What the halacha is highlighting over here is something dramatically amazing, which is sometimes what I want for myself is different than what my parents want from me. So my parent wants me to be X, but I don't want to be X. I want to be Y. So what do I do in those circumstances? So what the halacha is clearly telling me is, again, so in a black and white case, where what I want to do is in conformance with the word of God, and my parents want something different, that's a little bit easier, because God trumps. But what the halacha is telling us also in a nuanced way, is that I have the right to live my life the way that I want to. And assuming that what I'm doing is not an affront to my, meaning I'm never permitted to mistreat my parents. I'm never permitted, God forbid, to do something actively harmful to my parents. But I absolutely have the right to exercise my muscles of self-autonomy and to take my life in the direction that I believe it needs to go in order to experience my own self-actualization. My parents don't like it, and my parents are unhappy. And by the way, it may even technically adversely impact them, as is true in these cases. Rav Adi Yosef is talking about a case where their elderly parents who are asking for their young children to come back home. Me not coming back is going to adversely impact my parents. But here is this incredible dialectic. I have an obligation to honor, but I also have every right to live. And this comes up all the time. Perhaps it's most pronounced when young couples get married and they struggle to go ahead and create that interesting degree of independence. Parents, again, only want the best for their children, but parents also have to know when to back off. And so what happens? The young couple wants to go ahead and start their life, and you know what? Maybe they don't want to go to the wife's parents for the first Pesach. Maybe they don't, right? Or maybe they don't want to have to keep track on whose parents came, how many Shabbosos and this and that. Maybe they just don't want to do that. So at the end of the day, a couple has a right to make the choice in accordance with what is best for them. My parent is saying, keep it up, babe, keep it up. You know, as we said before, parents have to be very careful to not abuse the kibbut av ve'im card. Because if you abuse it, you lose it. It's not that the right is taken, but your children will not respect you. That's why a parent has the right to yield on their honor, because there's a recognition that sometimes you have to yield. So this halacha is essentially telling me that what I want from my life is different than what my parents want for me, or from me for them. I have the right as an independent adult to make the decisions that are best for me. Do I have to be conscious of the ramifications and implications of those decisions on my parents and on those around me? Of course I do. Do I have to avoid ever, chas v'shalom, hurting my parents or impugning their dignity? Absolutely. But am I bound to make my life decisions based on what is going to make my parents happy? And the answer is absolutely and unequivocally no. Let me show you something else. Take a look at number 12. This is an amazing Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Asi, this Gemara is going to wow you a bit. Rav Asi, Havale Ahi Ima Zakena. Rav Asi had an elderly mother. Amrale, she said to Rav Asi, so now this is the mother, elderly mother talking to her son. Ba'ina Takshitin, I want jewelry. Her husband passed away. So she's telling to her son, I want jewelry. Fine, Avadla. Rav Asi gets her jewelry. Ba'ina Gavra, she says to her son, I'd like to get remarried, and I want you to find me a shidduch. Na'ayinloch, Rav Asi says, okay, I'll look into it for you. I have to put together your resume, I'll see what I can do. Ba'ina gavra deshaper kavasach. Then she says to Rav Asi, I want a husband who is as handsome as you. So at that point, shavka va'azal da'aradar d'Yisrael. Rav Asi runs away, leaves his mother alone in Babel, and he runs to Eretz Yisrael. Very strange story. Now, obviously, what you begin to see over here is what? How would you classify Rav Asi's mother? Right? Not healthy. That's well said. Meaning, again, something is wrong over here. Something, meaning the request, okay, jewelry, fine. Ask your son to help you find the shidduch. Bit strange. Right? Tell your son that you want someone as handsome as he is. Really much more strange. Rav Asi decides he can't take it anymore. He picks up, makes aliyah, goes to Eretz Yisrael. Look what the Rambam writes. The Rambam learns an incredible halacha based on this Gemara. The Rambam understands that Rav Asi's mother was mentally ill. He understands that this woman, unfortunately, was not well. She was ill. So the Rambam says, Mishan, number 13, Mishan nitrafa daito shel aviv o shel imo. If Nebuch, a father or a mother, nitrafa daito literally means loses their mind. They're suffering from some type of mental illness. What's that halacha? He says, Mishtad alino giman kifi daitam ad shirucham aleihem. You do your best to take care of the parent to the extent of your abilities. Listen to this. But if it is impossible for you to deal with the parent, because the parent is just too difficult, either the demands are too difficult, the behavior is too difficult, then what's the halacha? Yanichim, you are permitted to leave your parent. You are permitted to absent yourself. The child is permitted to absent themselves from caring for the parent and essentially outsource the care of the parent to another qualified third party. So this is a dramatic halacha. If my parent becomes unmanageable, I can't, as in the case of Rav Asi, and again, all this is learned from Rav Asi, meaning what Rav Asi was doing was Rav Asi said to his mother, I love you, I can't handle you anymore. I can't care for you anymore. So what does he do? He picks up and he leaves. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam learns from this story, halacha lemaisa. The Rambam understands that you see from this story is that there is a point, a child is capable of caring for a parent in many different ways. But when it comes to a point where the child feels overwhelmed, I cannot give the proper care to my parent anymore, given their circumstances, the child has the right to withdraw, absent themselves, and ultimately give over the care to another individual. The Ravid jumps on the Rambam. The Ravid says, and this is amazing, by the way. You see, it's an incredible machlokas. Look at the last line, the end of the first line of number 14. Amar Ram, the Ravid says, Ein zuhora nechona. Rambam, listen to this. The Ravid says, Rambam, I think you're absolutely wrong. Why are you absolutely wrong? Im hu yelech v'yaniach lo, l'mi yitzav l'shomro. If the child leaves and doesn't take care of the parent, then who's going to take care of the parent? You hear what the Ravid is saying? The Ravid is saying, Rambam, I'm sorry. The child is going to have to figure it out. Because if the child absents him or herself from caring for the parent, no one is going to take a greater interest in your parent than the actual child, him or herself. So therefore, if when things are difficult, the child says, I can't do this, I'm bringing the third party, how do you expect that third party to deliver any greater care to your parent than you as a biological child will be ready to? So you see a dramatic dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says, when things get too difficult, and when I say things get too difficult, the parent gets too difficult. And by the way, understand, this is a subjective halacha. People have different thresholds. Some children can deal with a lot of stuff from their parents. Other children cannot. When I, as a child, get to the point that I say to myself, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't care for my parent anymore. It's not healthy, it's toxic, it's eroding my relationship with my parent, it's going to force me to do things or to say things that make me uncomfortable, I have the right to step away. I obviously have an obligation to make sure, bless you, I have an obligation to make sure that my parent is cared for, but I have the right to step away. Ravid, once a child, always a child. You never have the right or the ability to step away. Take a look at number 15. So the Radvaz, in his commentary, writes as follows. He says, Kevin Ravasi avad uvda ben afshe ve'echin yech v'halachlo. So Radvaz says, Ravasi, your mother was obviously ill. How were you able just to pick up and leave and go to Eretz Yisrael without taking care of her? And Lavadai Tziva Esachein Lefarnasa, rather, it's clear that Ravasi must have left his mother in the care of someone else. He hired a home health aide, he put her in a facility, whatever he did, he obviously took the appropriate measures to ensure that she was cared for. Vizutak Anosa. Now the Radvaz says something absolutely amazing. And anyone who has ever cared for an elderly parent could attest to the veracity of this statement. He says, Vizutak Anosa, Shiyishva ala ben ga'aguin, v'lo michsa famine, masha enkin ba'achirim. So listen to this. Sometimes we take liberties with family members that we would never take with other people. The Radvaz says sometimes when the parent is difficult, the parent will sometimes mistreat the child in some traumatic and dramatic ways. But the amazing part is, the parent would never say those same things to a total stranger, right? To a nurse, to a home health care aide, to someone at a facility. Now again, obviously that's not always true. Sometimes when people suffer with mental illness, they're not aware of anything. What the Radvaz is talking about is that sometimes, you know, caring for an elderly parent is exceptionally complicated. On one hand, if you have the opportunity to do it, it is an incredible zechus, an incredible privilege. On the flip side, it is fraught with complications. And the reason it is fraught with complications is because of the dynamic and overwhelming role reversal. The person who brought you into this life, gave you life, cared for you, changed your diapers, now you, the child, become the caregiver in every single dramatic way. And very often, parents have a lot of difficulty accepting that new role. Parents have incredible difficulty accepting that new reality and will often lash out at children. It's not because they're trying to be nasty. It's not because they're trying to be difficult. It's because it's hard to accept when you see this brand new role that you, the caregiver, you, the parent, have now suddenly become the child. So Radvaz says there are times where it is advisable for the child to check out in order to allow someone else to be able to give proper care to the parent. So the Radvaz goes on, he says furthermore, and now he's going to say some stuff that is going to sound to us like horrific, but it is reflective of the times. He says, V'lomotzi ligorbei, v'achir, number 15, last two lines, v'achirim gorimba, v'efshar al yidei haka, tachzor mishtusa. Because everyone knows someone, sometimes you could just slap someone right back into sense. Right? So a child obviously can't do that with a parent, but someone else can. Now again, I want to go on the record as saying don't do that with anyone. Obviously, that's reflecting their understanding based on their society. That somehow you could smack the sense into someone. So the idea is, what the Radvaz is pointing out is that sometimes there are things that need to be done for the care of my parent that I as a child can't do. And therefore, in those moments, it is in my best interest as a child and as a caregiver to step out and let someone else step in. And in fact, if you look at number 16, this is indeed codified in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Misha nitrafa das avivo imo. If a father or a mother unfortunately literally lost their mind, mentally ill, mishtadal linhog imam kifi daitam atshiruch malayim. As a child, you should try as hard as you can to take care of them. And interestingly, atshiruch malayim means try as hard as you can to take care of them while still maintaining respect. You know, sometimes, and you see this too often, of children who take care of parents and totally disrespect their parents. They talk down to parents. They're harsh with parents. And again, it takes a lot out of a child to care for a parent. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Don't do it if you're going to compromise your kavod to your parent. It is so much better to outsource the care of a parent to someone else and still maintain your derech eretz to your parent than do all the heavy lifting and treat your parent like a piece of garbage. At shirucham aleihem, care for them to the point that you can maintain a proper dignity and covet for them. Vimi efshar lo lamot, but if you can't care for your parent anymore, mipnei shenishtagu biyoser, because the parent is just simply too far gone, yelech lo, absent yourself, v'anichin, v'yitzave la'achirim l'nagam karoi. Absent yourself and allow someone else to step in and ultimately go ahead and take care of the parent. And this is indeed halacha l'maisa. And this is exceptionally important. What is every person, and this really is, that's why this halacha is exceptionally subjective. Some people have incredible reservoirs of patience, and even if their parents are difficult or trying, not because they want to, but because of their circumstances, the child could do it with a smile, the child could do it with derech eretz, and of course at the end of the day, no one will ever care for a parent like a child. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's too much. Sometimes the child can't, not that the child can't do it, sometimes the parent is too much. Sometimes the situation is too much. And if I try to care for my parent, I'm actually going to end up compromising their dignity. In those moments, says the Shulchan Aruch, stop, remove yourself from the situation, and hand over your parents' care to someone else who is capable and able. Interestingly enough, the Bach has a different idea. The Bach says in number 18, I'll just say this outside, he says that in fact, Rav Asi's mother was not senile or suffering from dementia. She was just old and difficult. So the Bach says, don't think for a moment that this is just about mental illness. What this is also about is, and this is going to become an incredibly dramatic motif, we're going to kind of conclude with this point, which is that sometimes, in order to preserve the proper honor for your parents, you must create a distance between yourself and your parents. It sounds counterintuitive because kavod, honoring my parents, is all about engagement. That's true when the relationship is healthy and normal. But if the relationship is quote-unquote unhealthy, abnormal, toxic or difficult, so that if I am engaged, what ends up happening is I end up eroding my honor for my parents. I can end up disrespecting my parents. I can end up mistreating my parents. At that moment, then I have to disengage. In that moment, then again, the greatest manifestation of kavod is disengagement, is separation, is distance. Because sometimes the greatest kavod I give to my parents is not disrespecting them. And if engagement is going to lead to friction, and engagement is going to lead ultimately again to a diminution of the kavod, of the honor I give them, then it is in my halachic best interest to disengage. What the Bach is saying is this is not just about senility, or Alzheimer's, or dementia, or depression, or other kinds of mental illness. So these people are just difficult. Sometimes people are just difficult. Sometimes they're difficult when they're old, sometimes they're difficult when they're young, sometimes they're difficult from cradle to grave. Some people are just difficult. And so in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em, there is a concept that if engagement is going to be counterproductive, then it's a form of kavod to disengage. It is a form of kavod to take a step back. Because preventing myself from being disagreeable, preventing myself from dishonoring, is in and of itself the greatest form of kavod. If you take a look at number 19, the Nishmas Avram discusses this. He actually discusses a number of different interesting cases over here. He discusses a fascinating case about a young man who is caring for his ailing mother. Must have been something with Alzheimer's dementia. And the mother used to hit people. And so the son asked, was he permitted to restrain his mother? To which he quotes over from the Tzitzit of Eliezer Waldenberg. He said, no, a child cannot restrain their parent. If your parent needs to be restrained, then you need to hand them over to someone else who could properly care for them. And it's all part of this same motif, that there are times when the greatest form of honor is disengagement. And if you skip down to the end of paragraph Beis, he says something very profound over here, the last three lines in paragraph Beis. V'nirli da'idna, v'adai afshar l'chalik bein Shmira shel haben she'eino menusa v'yodea eich lishmor u'bein ach u'mosad shemelumadim u'menusim b'davar v'yodim eich l'tapo ba'adam kazeh shenitshof adaito. This is actually incredibly important. So the Nishmas Avram says there's another consideration, which is sometimes it's not just about if I have the ability to provide for my parent. It's also where is my parent going to get the best care? If you remember, again, we spoke about that part of the mitzvah of kavod is getting my parent out. So we know that sometimes when people become a bit more incapacitated, if they're living with a child, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, there's no social outlets. And you say to the parent, again, children have these conversations with the parent, you should go to the senior center. And what does the parent respond very often? That's for old people, right? That's for old people, right? And of course, the child wants to say, yeah, and yeah. By the way, you're probably like one of the, right? You're probably older than most of the people who are there. But again, what Rav Waldenberg is saying also over here is that sometimes even if the child could quote unquote handle it, it's a question of what's in the best interest of my parents. And if my parents could have more therapies, more social outlets, more opportunities, then ultimately, again, it may behoove me as a child to provide that for them. Now, situations become much more complicated. My parent says, no, I don't want that. I want to stay with you. And if a parent is coherent enough and of sound mind enough to make those decisions, sometimes the child has to respect those decisions up to the point where ultimately, again, caring for the parent becomes detrimental for the child. So again, we see this concept that, and again, I just want to point out, where do we learn all of this from? Where do we learn all of this from? From Rav Asi. It's amazing. One Gemara, Rav Asi has either an exceptionally difficult mother, or potentially a senile mother, can't deal with her anymore, absents himself, gives her care over to someone else, and from here we learn a dramatic halacha, that yes, I have an obligation to care for my parents to the best of my ability. But if caring for them is going to backfire, cause friction, ultimately cause for a diminution of the honor I give to them, then I'm much better absenting myself and allowing someone else to care for the parent. Now this opens the door to one last piece which was raised before. We now see this paradigm that halacha lemaisa, sometimes honoring parents means what? Disengaging. Sometimes honor is best served when there is distance and separation. Because remember, again, if the relationship is such that there's a risk ultimately, again, of me disrespecting the parent or eroding the honor given to the parent, then it is much better for me to take a step back and to disengage. And in fact, if you take a look at number 20, so look what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. The Aruch HaShulchan over here discusses about honoring a parent who is a Rasha. Now, Rasha is a very strong word. Rasha means someone who is evil. Now, we're going to stay away ultimately again from what the definition of evil is, but what I do want to draw your attention to are the bolded lines in number 20. V'im'eino Rasha. What happens if my parent is not a Rasha? Rather what? Rak shemisnahig b'midos ra'os. What does it mean, shemisnahig b'midos ra'os? Shemisnahig b'midos ra'os. My parent is a bad person. Midos Raos, bad person. My parent is manipulative. My parent has anger issues. My parent knocks me down. My parent is not nice. My parent, whatever it is, Midos Raos. So I'm not talking about as a Russian. Not evil. Just not a good person. Or probably better stated, not a healthy person. What happens if my parent is just not healthy? Or let me say it even a little bit differently. Not healthy for me. It is not healthy for me to have a close connection with this parent. But yet what? I have an obligation of honoring my parent. So what do I do? He adds in over here, sonoi librios, which means my parent is despised by everyone. Which again, makes things difficult socially for a child at times. So what's the halacha? V'chein im haya shikr. Or, if my parent was an alcoholic. So remember again, it's assumed that if my parent is an alcoholic, chances are they might also act out based on their alcoholism. So look what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Tov sheyisrachich es atzmo mimenu. What's the halacha? Aruch HaShulchan says, Tov, it's a good idea. Distance yourself from the parent. So this is an incredibly dramatic idea. Because what this tells us is what began as a conversation regarding Nebuch, a parent who is ill, mentally ill, physically ill, to the point that I can't take care of them. I can't give them what they need. The halacha says, absent yourself and let someone else come in to give the proper care to the parent. The Aruch HaShulchan takes this a step further. And again, this is exceptionally subjective. But what it tells me is, if my parent is not a healthy person, or if my parent is not healthy for me. And again, unfortunately, situations like this come up all of the time. They come up in situations of abuse. They come up in situations of alcoholism. They come up in situations of neglect. They come up in situations of abandonment where I feel there's a part of me that loves my parent because they brought me into this world. And there's a part of me that ultimately, again, wants to go ahead and honor them because that's the biblical obligation that I have. The problem is engagement is personally harmful. Engagement is detrimental to me because engagement brings out things in me that I don't like. Engagement conjures up memories that I don't want to have. And engagement potentially hampers me in other life relationships. Remember, again, we're speaking about kibbutz ava'im in a vacuum. But we all know that especially, again, if you have your own family unit, your relationship with your parents has a direct impact not just on you, but potentially on your spouse, on your children, on your own personal nuclear family. The Aruch HaShulchan says, if the relationship with the parent is detrimental to you because of negative qualities the parent possesses, tov sheyisracheich es atzmo mimenu. Ultimately, again, it is good to create a distance. So we see that there are times when the halacha mandates engagement, and there are other times when the halacha says, in order to preserve a proper relationship and dignity for your parents, disengagement is what is warranted. I'll just conclude with the last piece. In number 19 at the end, the Nishmas Avram quotes Reb Sadji Gaon. And Reb Sadji says something amazing. He says, you know, by the mitzvah of kibbutz ava'im, the Torah says, Kabeyas avicha v'asimecha, honor your mother and father, leman ya'arichon yamecha, in order that you will have longevity. So Reb Sadji Gaon says, why is it that there is a blessing of longevity for honoring your parents? And Reb Sadji Gaon says something so beautiful. He says, because everyone knows that when you properly honor your parents, it can literally take years off your life. That when you properly honor your parents, especially if you have to take care of them when they're elderly, it could sap you of so much of your strength and so much of your vitality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, whatever you give to them, I will give back to you. Whatever you have to dole out and whatever you have to sacrifice to care for those who brought you into this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Leman ya'arichon yamecha. Whatever you spend, whatever you expend, whatever you have to sacrifice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give back to you. But again, it's all about knowing when to engage, all about knowing when to disengage. We should be zochem yirtzeh Hashem. To first of all, if nothing else, go home with a newfound sense of gratitude towards our parents. Were they perfect? No parents are perfect because no human being is perfect. But they probably made a lot of mistakes, but they also probably did a lot more good hopefully, than the mistakes. Tried their best. We have the mitzvah of kibud, the mitzvah of mora. We don't make a bracha because they could yield that responsibility or that right. And we learn as parents that there are times to yield as well. When my aspirations conflict with my parents' aspirations for me, I have the license and the right to lead my own life as long as I do not impugn on their dignity or on their kavod. I should try to care for my parents in all stages of life. But when caring for them in the most appropriate way requires me to absent myself, sometimes halacha tells me to engage, sometimes halacha tells me to disengage. We shall all be privileged to give as much to our parents as they have given to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu should see everything we have given, and Amiras Hashem will give, and should Amiras Hashem reward each of us with Laman Ya'arichun Yomecha, beautiful longevity, not just in Echos, but Kamos, not just about the number of days, but the quality of those days as well. All right. So